This is a really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's up, guys? It's the podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. We're here at Charter House. We've got a guest today. What's up, Mark Charter?
What is up, man? New house, baby's less than 2 weeks away. What else is new here? Oh, my brother's here.
Hey, guys.
The Eric Charter is in the house. You might be the most loyal podcast listener. It took you a while to get on the train, but since then
it did take him a while.
When did you first start listening to the podcast?
I think it was last summer. I probably jumped in when you were 50 episodes or so in and quickly got up to speed with the first 50, and I've listened ever since.
So you went back and listened to every single one, because you would tweet at us, and I would have no idea what you're talking about, and then you would say something.
He would tweet
like,
and not reference. He's like, that take Gray had was awesome, and it was like a take like, from 6 months before.
Hell yeah, it was awesome.
What? I think he likes Gray. That's what I've noticed on the tweets.
There's room on the bandwagon.
Yeah, so you've been prohibited from talking about track and field today. We know you like doing that. But so if you have a hot Iowa State track take, maybe we can let him have one. But other than that, Gray says he's walking out if we talk about track.
I will let you talk about track because I have one question. Mark was a very, very good sprinter back in the day, I'm told. Mark in his prime versus Usain Bolt, who wins?
I don't think anybody on the planet beats Bolt, so we won't fault him too much for that.
And I never once in my life said 4-2. You like to say 4-2. I never said 4-2. Ever.
He did? 4-3.
Never said 4-3.
I think he said 4-3.
I can verify that he qualified for the Drake Relays 100, I think, sophomore year? Was it their freshman or sophomore?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore, junior, senior, three-year state relays guy?
I ran in the state meet all 4 years. Because my freshman year, I was on the 4x2 team that ran at state. So I was legit. I wasn't elite, but I was legit.
Yeah.
I was legit for a 5'11 white guy.
Second in the state in 4A in the 400 hurdles senior year.
I can some idiot from Ankeny where I now live and have an office. So
if your neighborhood got like a 4x2 relay team, you guys would smoke other neighborhoods. It wouldn't even be close.
Well, we'd need a fourth. We've got Whitford and Danielson and myself. We would need a fourth. I don't know if there's anyone else in the neighborhood.
I would run a 200 in about 60 seconds right now, and I think you still would win.
It would be horrible for me right now. I ran splits and opens. I was, 21s, 22s. And I would probably – I don't think I could break 30 now, like at all. And that's just based on 100 meters in, I'd be cramping and I would be feeling it big time.
Yeah.
So that's a big drop right there.
He's 9 years younger than me, but I'll probably outlive him by 10 years. So
based on what you eat, just on our him?
He's got a lot more. He's got a lot more wear in his tires than I do, I think, at this stage. But
so
let's get some examples of this wear. What kind of wear are we talking about?
So we're similar. We're similar in a lot of ways. We've got the same DNA, but and I was saying earlier, like, sense of humor, I think, is probably similar. Athleticism is probably similar. Eric played college football at Northwestern College and ran track. I think you ran track there too?
1 year.
So we both did that. I went there 1 year and did those things. So the athletic genes were there, but Eric's a little mellow compared to his younger brother. He prefers a good book and a night at home, and
I would argue that everybody's a little mellow compared to you.
Well, see, no, but like, see, you can't say that and then talk about Vegas where you say I was in my room every night asleep. You know, it's one or the other. I can have a good time when I need to.
You're not crazy party guy.
Yeah.
But you're also mellow is not a word I'd use.
I'm social.
Social, yeah.
I'm social. If I was on Big Brother, they'd say I have a strong social game. It's one of my favorite shows, by the way. Have you ever seen it, Big Brother?
No, I've never seen it. No.
It's a great social experiment. Have you ever seen that? Big Brother on CBS?
Heard of it. I haven't seen it.
16 strangers put in a house together. They can't leave the house. And they spend the whole summer there. Each week they eliminate one, but they spend the whole summer there. And they have challenges and competitions. So part of it is, are you winning these competitions? And the other part of it is, are you a leader? How well do you get along with everybody else in the house? So you have to have a good social game, but you also have to be talented at the same time. And it's interesting to watch this play out. It's on 3 times a week during the summer. And they're in like their 16th, 17th season of this.
Wow.
And you find yourself rooting for these people. You don't know them. They're not famous. But
it's kind of like an urban version of Survivor.
A little bit. I would never. Would you go on Survivor, by the way?
No, I'm too big of a pansy.
I couldn't handle the outdoor elements at all. Just it's not my thing in any way, shape, or form. So
you don't even like to mow your own yard.
Well, it's not.
No, come on.
It's not like. That's not the issue. So – Eric,
do you mow your yard?
I've got a 16-year-old son or 15-year-old son, so I don't. Right
there you
now.
Go.
Yeah, I've got enough kids that I shouldn't have to for 10 years or so.
That's the American dream right there.
It is.
Have the kids do all the work so you can just sit back and have fetch you beers?
That's the payoff of parenting right there.
I've told you, though, before, it's not. It's a simple math equation.
You could say whatever to justify
when
it.
When you figure out what your time is worth and then you can pay someone else less, then you pay someone else less. That's what
but,
I like to
but
do.
But you got to understand, you're talking to someone who gets texts from you at 6 o'clock when most guys are mowing.
Yeah.
And you're watching the Cubs game and drinking milk. So I know you're not – I know it's not a time versus money thing.
Well, no, I've opted for the enjoyment of life versus having to mow. Because to mow my yard, I mean, I got to go out and spend – what's a good zero-turn riding lawnmower cost anymore? I mean, that's – $3,000 for probably a decent one, if not more.
You can get a push one for yours.
Dude, that would take so long. The yard's actually fairly long. You wouldn't know. You haven't been over. You're not nice.
Haven't been invited.
My daughter and my son-in-law, actually, they lived in a duplex in Ames this last year, and they had to mow their own yard. And they went out and got one of those old-fashioned push mowers. It's not even a power mower.
With the blade. Just
with the blade. Yeah, I don't. I
hope
don't
that
know
was
that,
free. I hope they didn't have to buy that from anybody.
I don't know how they did that, but they moved to an apartment.
So my brother said he saw a push mower that was a plug-in. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
We had one of those as a kid, actually.
Really?
Yeah, in Ames. We had a.
I remember that vaguely, I think.
You'd have the
extension cord?
The orange extension cord, like extending over your entire yard.
Don't mow over that.
I have no idea why our parents – I think it was from Sears or Ward's or something. I have no idea why they did that.
What is the age gap between you and your brothers? How old is the
– So they might get mad at me for saying this. Ryan is 38. David is 36.
Yeah.
I'm 31. Cheezer's 32. GR is 27. And Andy's 26.
So Ryan, wow. Ryan, the oldest,
yeah,
is 7 years older. Did you grow up feeling like you didn't know him very well? Because that's the – like, Eric's 9 years older than I am, so I don't feel like I really knew my brother until I got into high school.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I felt like I knew him fairly well. He was – we weren't as close. He was – you know, older brothers are kind of pricks when you're younger. Him and David beat the hell out of me.
See, the 9 years helped me. I don't recall Eric ever beating up on me.
Yeah.
At all.
I was thinking about this going into this podcast. If we'd ever actually had a disagreement about anything in our entire lives, I can't even remember that we ever have.
Well, obviously it was meaningful if I can't remember it either. Probably not. Probably not. I think I do recall times when I was probably around college age where I had some ideas that you said were stupid, and you were right. They were stupid. But that was just I mean, I was Jared at the time. I mean, you're just naive about the world and what's possible.
Jared's just sitting over there just like, what? Don't talk about me.
Jared's just steering the ship today. But those aren't even disagreements. That's just somebody saying, like, that's stupid and that's a waste of time. But – and I worked not really for Eric, but with him for 18 months running a convenience store. And I don't think he yelled at me too bad when that was happening.
That's nice.
You know?
So you're doing a good job.
I wasn't pilfering. You know, it was a sinking ship, and so, I think I made it a little bit better, but it was still a sinking ship.
Somebody did like cut a hole in the.
Yeah, we got our ATM robbed. This is out at the Harvester Golf Course.
Yeah,
I ran that convenience store, and I got a call probably 3 a.m. one night from the cops, and they said you need to come down to the store. So I went down there, and the store was okay. It wasn't too badly damaged, but someone had. Literally through the back wall of the store, which is hidden from view, had cut a hole like through the building itself and crawled through there and then got the ATM, which was, I don't remember if it was bolted to the floor or not. It might have been.
I don't think it was.
But they yanked it out with a truck, basically. And then we found the ATM machine, I believe, nearby the store, but I think the cash was gone. And the ATM owner didn't have insurance or whatever, but I'm pretty sure I was the prime suspect in that one for a while. So I promise I didn't do it.
So that's how you built your empire here at Charter House.
One ATM at a time.
Yeah. How much time were you spending at Meskwaki in those days?
Not much. Honestly, not much. I never liked Meskwaki because every time I'd go, I'd lose. You know, I've always done much better at Prairie Meadows. So I was never a slots guy until recently. Talk about ATM machine. Go over there and play their high-dollar slots.
No.
They like to pay out, man.
You're the only person I've ever known that wins on slots.
I won a little money the last time I went over there. So. Yeah, I hear
it. Do I sound a little off?
You sound great to me, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sound good. So what questions do you have? Do you have any good ones for my bro?
First and foremost, has Charter always been a little bitch, or is it just kind of recent? You know, growing up, was he kind of that? Or?
He was a good kid. One thing I do remember about him is he was always anxious to impress my friends, not always in appropriate ways. He would have this thing where he would, you know, my buddies would be over and he'd want to get some attention and he would karate chop himself between the legs just to.
Like between the legs, like where his junk is?
Yeah. I think I hit myself right in the nuts, if I remember right.
Just, and everybody laughed at it, so he got what he was looking for.
I can't dispute this. I do remember it. And what were you in? You weren't in this class. What was Steve Dreyer, who was a Major League Baseball pitcher? How much younger, older was he at Ames High?
I played Little League with him because he was a little young for his grade.
Yeah.
But he was 1 year ahead. He graduated in 87.
One of Ames' only Major League Baseball players that actually played?
The other another guy in that class, Matt Rubel, also played in the majors a little bit. When I was seventh grade, I was on an all-star team with both those guys, so I got to catch both of them in all-stars. We made it to the state.
And I assume they were pretty good in seventh grade as well?
Yeah, they were good. Dreyer was a really good he had a really good head, and he had really good control. He wasn't that fast.
Yeah.
He just had a good head for pitching.
Yeah.
Rubel was a left-hander, threw a little bit harder.
Amen.
Yeah.
Lefties are always better.
I've told having a left-handed son, I've told Gray many times, as long as I can get Seton throwing 85 miles an hour, he's got school paid for. You know, left-hander with heat, you got to ride.
You need to – I'd massage his arm every night before I went to bed.
Work on it?
Yeah.
Get him like some of those ropes or those stretchy ropes and have him do stuff like that.
One thing I will say about Mark too, he was a heck of a little league baseball pitcher.
Of course I was. People don't believe you when you say that.
I remember watching him and he was probably.
Yeah, but we're talking Ames. Like this isn't Johnson Little League or even Urbandale or anything. This is Ames Little League. So let's slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, I think by the time he got to high school, everybody else had caught up with him. But he was a hard thrower when he was probably 11, 12. I mean, you'd have a game where, you know, six inning game, you'd strike out 15 guys.
I did. The best thing was I threw a changeup that wasn't a changeup at all. You know, so your normal changeup is fastball delivery with. The ball choked back in your hand.
Circle change, palm, whatever.
To lessen, you know, to lessen the velocity of it. what I would do, and I was the only kid that would was doing this at all at certain points in Little League, so 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And I just started doing it one day, and it induced the worst-looking swings you would ever see from human beings. So I would throw fastball, maybe a curve, fastball, and then I'd throw a change. So all I would do is same windup, look like I was going to throw it fast, and then I would just slow my arm down a ton and throw it probably 20 miles an hour slower than a fastball. And the swings you would get were just hysterical. I mean, you felt bad almost for the kids. And no one else ever did that, but it was effective. Until I realized that's not actually how you throw a change up at all. But, yeah, it worked. You know, it worked for me. But, memories. I think you were probably better than I was at baseball. You know,
no,
you're taller.
I wasn't very good.
If I recall, they named the field at Johnson after Gray, didn't they? Wasn't there a story about that one?
Yeah, it's because I'm a phenomenal liar, not because I'm a phenomenal baseball player, though. that's the difference.
That was one of the all-time best podcast stories. So, you guys have to tell that again at some point. Not necessarily today, but you got to reboot that at
maybe
some point.
Anytime we can make Gray sound like a liar, I like doing it.
I thought it was a fun lie. It was fun. So you two are 9 years apart, and you have a sister who is. I'm guessing the middle child?
Right between, yeah. Mark's born in 78. I was born in 69. Our sister's born in 75, I think.
Okay.
My sister, Casey, is coming to work here. Not physically. She lives in Kansas City. But she's going to start working here, doing some stuff for us. So we've got a growing crew.
It seems like you just hired three new people?
Around here. So Jared's screwing up the mics again. We've got a team of, including Nick, who's sitting next to me here, seven. No, I think. Is that right, Nick? Seven?
Yeah.
We've got seven. So,
taking over the world.
And everybody's still concerned about the place 2 doors down. I'm still looking for a podcast volunteer to get down.
Someone
there.
On the boards actually asked, said, hey, I'm
they would do it?
They would do it. If you're paying.
I'm telling you, man, it's weird. We've had people that have been here like late, 10 o'clock at night, and they literally see dudes walking out of there at that hour.
Yeah.
Usually it's out of state plates. I mean, they're definitely doing some shenanigans down there.
Maybe I can stop in after we're done.
Yeah.
Just
see if they have any openings.
Just go in there and ask them, like, because as the theory goes, when Sarah, who works here, any of the females go down, and they've gone down a couple times just to ask about what they offer or whatever, they're always like, oh, you got to call and make an appointment. And basically, like, we don't want your business. So their theory is if a male goes down there, it's like, hey, can you get me in real quick? They'd be like, oh, yeah, come on to the back. So I don't know. I don't want to be the one to find out.
Jared, you're young. You're not married yet. Why don't you take one for the team and go over there for us?
I don't even know anything about what you guys are talking about. I haven't paid any attention.
Charter thinks that
two
doors down, there's some shenanigans going on at the massage parlor. And we want you to go in and find out for us. Do a little under.
Jared's like, yeah, that sounds about normal.
Yeah. Okay. A little investigation.
Jared's one of those guys who went to Monty's on campus because they had Playboy magazines. that's what he's into. The Monty's sold for all those people that are Iowa State grads, but I don't know, does the new place still have the old magazines there?
You know, I'm not going there anymore. I go somewhere closer to my office. I think he did.
Yeah.
It's a guy named Troy. He's a nice guy. He does a good job.
I've never been into Monty's Barbershop, and for people that have no idea what Monty's is, it was a barbershop just off the Iowa State campus, or basically on the campus. I've never been in there, but it was always known because, like, on the coffee table or whatever, you had Playboys.
It's on the corner of West and Highland. I went there the first time, the last day of 10th grade.
That's when he lost his taste for Playboy magazine. We were talking about that. We've talked about this on the podcast, though. It's funny how things in the past change. Like, Playboy's not even Playboy anymore.
No, yeah. I know.
You know, that's Maxim, basically, or Stuff magazine or something of the like. Gray can even pick up a copy now, take it home and
show it to my kids.
Show it to your kids.
Absolutely.
It's what a girl looks like, boys. It's great.
Mark is talking about this here, you've listened to every Fallcast. It seems like you're pretty proud of your brother. You know, you're talking him up like he was a good kid. Is there ever a time where you sit there and just shake your head and say, Mark, you can't say that. You can't talk like that. Or, God, Mark, do you ever call him up afterwards and say, yeah, you went too far?
I don't. That's kind of his wife's job.
I'm glad my mom doesn't listen, though,
so
sometimes.
There is
really
nothing
am.
That you've ever just sat there and been like, unbelievable, Mark.
I got to think.
Gray, what's the worst thing I've ever said on here that you think is the worst thing I've ever said?
Oh, maybe one of them was when you were asking Williams which of the local female reporters he would like to sleep with or marry or kill.
That was a game. That was a
game. That was a little awkward.
Shag, marry, kill.
Yeah.
The one thing I did comment on to my wife before I came on last night, I said, I mentioned Chris and his daddy like.
Yeah.
That's out there a ways.
That's creepy.
You guys are getting older and your kids are getting older and I'm hearing that less and less, so that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that's all him though. That's you know, I'm not going to claim responsibility for that one. But he says it about stuff that he shouldn't say it about. I'm not talking about women, but like he'll talk about tacos at Fuzzy's, and he'll say "daddy like."
Yeah,
but he can't say it unless he does it in the creeper voice.
It is true.
He's not just like "daddy like." He's like,
it's like ordering the queso.
"Daddy like," "daddy like." He has to say it. Yes. So. One of the interesting things, though, like doing this with Chris is that he's just so different than I am. I mean, raised in a small town and has never seen any movies and just loves country music and pickup trucks and
WWE.
WWE and believes in ghosts and just so many things that I'm not like, yeah, man, I'm on board with you on that one. But it works. For some reason, he's a simple guy with confusing diseases that happen all the time.
I've heard that him and Ross are starting to do movies, and I don't. That's going to be a one-sided conversation.
I think what had happened is he's doing it with Downs, right?
Downs gave him 10 movies to watch, and so now Williams has to go watch these 10 movies, and then they're going to do podcasts. Basically, they stole our idea. And they're doing it separate.
Is Shawshank one of them? Has he watched that
yet? I don't think
yet?
Shawshank was on the list. Some of them were. I remember.
It is on the list?
Jared's shaking his head there.
Thanks for contributing,
so,
Jared.
Hopefully it was, but Star Wars was on there. Godfather was on there.
He hasn't seen Star Wars?
No, he hasn't seen that. He hasn't seen Godfathers. He hasn't seen Goodfellas. He hasn't seen.
I would skip Star Wars if I were him.
I would too. I don't think Star Wars is very good, honest with you. There were several on there, but those were the ones that I remember.
Did they not have a movie theater in Clarinda? Is that where he's from?
He's from Clarinda.
Jared, you wanna jump in here as far as what they have to offer in Clarinda, besides the Indeclair?
Well, we had a movie theater for a while. My family actually ran it.
Oh, really?
But it was only one screen.
Free movies for Jared.
And it actually probably was open after Chris would have been gone. I don't know what there was when he was a kid.
Where would you guys go to rent movies in Clarinda? Like a lot of the small places have like a Casey's would.
No, we had a movie gallery.
Oh, did you?
For a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we've had a Redbox for ever.
Really?
That's pretty much the only other place to go.
To go, unless you're going to do Netflix where they're going to send it to you over the mail.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they have a parade the day Redbox came to Clarinda?
We get a little spoiled sometimes in central Iowa. I went to college in northwest Iowa, and Jared's talking about southwest Iowa. Central Iowa is not typical for Iowa. I mean, we take
Thank
a lot
God.
Of things for granted here. That,
jeez.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a. I dated a girl from Southwest Iowa.
It's a slower pace of life.
It is. Yeah.
Over there.
Yeah.
So we went to the same college. At least I went for a year. Eric went for four. Northwestern.
I left on much better terms than Mark did. Let's just say.
I actually technically got kicked out.
You did? What for?
Yeah. No, I got kicked out. So I. I'll tell you. But Sunday. Pretty much everything closed up there. This is Orange City. There were a few things that were open, but a lot of things shut down up there, and I wasn't used to that at all. And it wasn't a good fit. Frankly, I went there because I wanted to play college football. They offered me money to do that, so school was pretty cheap. I wanted to run track, so that's why I went there. And then my brother had gone there. So, you know, he was number 40 in high school. I became number 40. He went there. I went there. You know, follow in your brother's footsteps kind
is
of a thing.
Is that why Harrison Barnes wore 40 at Ames?
Pretty much.
Because of the Charter Brothers?
It was a famous number.
I figured. Yeah.
So I am one of the 40 best football players of the last 40 years. They might as well retire the number, frankly. But
is that somewhere we can find this?
The Ames Tribune last year.
Really?
Came out with the best 40 of the last 40 years.
How much you pay Hines to get you on that list?
It was coaches. It was voted on by coaches and media members and stuff like that.
I will say it's a shame that it didn't work out at Northwestern because I think Mark would have been a really good – it's NAIA, which is probably a step up from Division III, kind of on par with Drake, 1AA non-scholarship. He would have been a good, very good player there, and he was a good player there as a freshman, but just culturally it wasn't a good fit. Kate wasn't up there. If you had it to do over again, would you have done that any of that differently?
I would have done a lot of things differently too. I mean, everybody looks back and has regrets in life. And you know, I ended up marrying the girl that I was dating at the time, so it's hard to be like and honestly, if I had stayed up there for 4 years, that probably would not have happened, and then I wouldn't have kids and blah blah blah. But the reason I got kicked out was too many chapel skips. So you had to go to chapel
three times a week, and then you got like 10 cuts.
Yeah, and I like sleeping, and it was in the morning. So I skipped too many, and then I technically I did get kicked out. They said, you can't come here anymore. So I had to do a little bit of community service to get back in, and then I decided I don't. So I would have gotten back in, but I decided I didn't want to go there anymore.
Because we're going to have the same issue. You were going to have to get up early to go.
I was. And then I came back to Iowa State and was literally a day away from tryouts for Iowa State track. I was going to make the team. The tryout was easy. It was like 200 meters in, I want to say like 23 seconds or something to make the team. And at the time, that was really easy to hit. And the day before the actual trial. So I worked out with the team for 2 weeks. Then it was the official trial. And the day before, my roommate was chasing me down the stairs for some reason. Must have taken his weed or something. I don't know. But but I hit the bottom step and twisted my ankle so bad. Oh. And I was in an air boot for like 4 weeks after that. And that was the end of the athletic career.
That's too bad.
So it's one of those things like if that had not happened and then I was on the track team, like, where does your future go? And obviously, I was never going to be an Olympian, but, you know, I would have been an Iowa State member of the track team.
Yeah.
So, like, how would have life been different at that point?
Do you blame your friend for chasing you down the stairs?
No, I was probably doing something stupid that made him want to do that at the time. But, you know, I can't remember. This is the same roommate, by the way, that we were talking about the other day that I made do the paper out for a month. So he was getting his retribution.
He's a guy you should have on at some point. He'd have a lot of good stories.
On me. So we had a phase in college. Talk about Eric and I have never had disagreements. We had a bunch with this guy. And me and my roommates just got in this streak where we pranked him all the time. And he had the only computer for a while. This is back before everyone had a laptop.
Sure.
He had the only computer that worked in our apartment, and he was mad at all of us, so he would lock his room door when he would leave for work so we couldn't use it. Well, I worked at the apartment complex and had access to all the keys, so I just made a copy of his key and would unlock the door every time, and we'd use it the whole time.
Get off
and then get off before.
And he never knew?
No, he never knew. And then there was one time he came home and, you know, expecting to find his door locked. We had actually taken his door off the hinges and put it out on the balcony so there was no door. He comes in. And then we used to do, like, we both did, we both had routes, obviously, for the daily, like I was talking about. And there were a few mornings where I'd get up before him and wait in my car to watch him come out of the apartment building. And I'd get that window paint, you know, you can paint, like, for sale on the whatever. And I'd draw a huge dick on his windshield. So he'd come out in the morning ready to go, and he'd see a huge penis on his windshield.
The funny thing about this is you and him probably lived together in about six different apartments during your...
We tolerated each other. Yeah, we had moments. Like, he would get a new girlfriend, and that she would change him a little bit. And I mean, we still golf together most weekends. So he's a friend. He's been a friend for a long time.
He's a good guy. He married well, too. He's got a sharp wife.
Yeah.
He did a good job.
Isn't that the best compliment you can give in life?
It's that, like, you married well?
You married well.
Absolutely.
You know, you married way above your pay grade, dude.
It's pretty much my only thing I've done right in my life.
Yeah. But so. if that's the only thing that you do right.
Well, I'm okay with it.
It's, you know, a biggie.
I'm okay with it, yeah.
It's a biggie.
So, Eric, do you go to all the football games?
I go to a few a year. I don't have season tickets. My boss does. Sometimes his family uses them. Sometimes he offers them to me. Usually tickets are much easier to come by the further you get into the season, I found. I don't know if other Iowa State fans have that experience. But
you're saying because by then we're usually 2-5.
It's cold. Yeah, people are moving on to other things.
So. Do you think that's going to change in the future? Do you think Campbell and staff are going to turn it around?
I think the key...
I transitioned over to football there.
That's fine. Football's coming up, man.
The key, as it always is at Iowa State, has been for decades, is can we develop a defensive line and can we develop an offensive line? You look at the McCarney era, when we got James Reed and Reggie Hayward.
Yeah.
You know, we were moving. When we go back to the 70s, when we had Mike Stensrud, we had Tom Randall, we had Dexter Green running the ball. That's always the key. Can we develop a line?
So you grew up during that time period, which would have been, like, for me, Troy Davis. Troy Davis is the guy, you know, that
yeah,
those guys
yeah.
teams, back then, those you'd have been, what, 9 years old?
Yeah, I still remember some games from the 70s. Like, I think in 76 and 77, we won at Nebraska, and then the next year we won in Ames. I still remember where I was at when I heard that we won that game at Nebraska. I think I was at the liquor store with my dad.
Way to go, Pops.
Yeah, yeah. Not that we were at the liquor store all the time, but that's how big a deal it was. You know, yeah. You hear we just beat Nebraska in Lincoln. That's a huge deal. Yep. So I think Matt Campbell's got a lot of enthusiasm. I think he's going to be a great recruiter. You know, it's kind of like we always say, if he can't get it done, nobody can. And it's always going to be an uphill battle here just because of the, you know, the demographics, the geography of Iowa, the speed deficit we have against other, you know, Big 12 teams in the South. But I think he's going to give it a heck of a try and hopefully have some success.
The greatest social experiment of all time will be the day that I win $1 billion in Powerball. And I decide, just because I want to and I'm rich, that I'm going to give Saban $20 million or whoever the hot coach is to come here and see what they can do. And they have to stay here for 10 years or I get to kill them so they can't leave.
Wow.
So it's always amazing, like, because we have all these excuses in the world, right, as to why Iowa State's Iowa State and we're the northernmost school and blah, 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 blah. But imagine you get the best coach in college football. What could they do? You know, is the answer still not much?
One of the interesting things is talking about conference realignment. You know, I think any scenario where we don't have to play all those Southern schools every year is only going to help us.
Well, it's the Iowa syndrome. Like, look at their schedule last year and who they didn't have to play. I mean, that helps.
Everybody assumes that Iowa is just superior to us. But you look at how we've done head-to-head with them since McCartney's been here. You know, Iowa fans will just say that's a fluke and we just get up for that game. But we play them head-to-head. Now, do they do better as far as making bowl games and win-loss record? Yeah, but you got to look at the conference they play in.
They generally do a lot better at recruiting their lines than we do for some reason.
Recruiting or developing with Chris Doyle.
Both, yeah. Well, and, you know, Ferentz is a good offensive line coach. Yeah, no, I'm not going to bash Iowa. I'm going to swallow this one. I'm going to stay up.
You're going to act mature.
Act mature, yeah.
No, I think that I'm excited. Like, I've never in my life been more excited to watch a sub 500 team than I am this year. Yeah,
one thing that
and I fully believe they'll be sub 500, but just to see how they game manage a little bit differently, because say what you want about Rhodes, great guy, fine, good father, fine, whatever, but in my opinion, lousy game manager. You got the lead, or you need to make adjustments at half. He wasn't doing it.
Yeah,
you know, the K-State game should have never happened. Toledo, you centered the ball. Those things. I thought he sucked at.
Keeps on Wood didn't help us last year.
No.
I don't think. But that falls on Coach Rhodes. I mean, he's the one that brought him in.
Yep. Yeah.
One thing I will say that Iowa State has going for it, I'm a big Jamie Pollard fan, and just looking at how he is leveraging the TV money and how he's leveraging gifts from some really generous donors, what he's doing facilities-wise. I mean, our football stadium looks fabulous.
Yep.
We've got a track that looks fabulous. We've got a golf practice facility. We've got a tennis practice facility. He's just doing a good job with all that. And I heard an interview with him. I think it was maybe the one with Chris, where he said, basically, hey, we're doing our part getting facilities in place. It's time for our coaches to start doing their part and winning in our different programs. So I think he's right.
Yeah, I don't think facilities are an issue anymore. I mean, obviously, if a recruit's comparing us to Oregon, you know, they might go choose Oregon, you know, that's Nike money. But I would assume in the Big 12, we've got really good facilities compared to everybody else. You'd know more about that than I am. You've probably been in all the facilities up there and walked
around. Well, I mean, if you go to start a basketball, Hilton Coliseum, I would say, is probably the second best arena in the Big 12 behind Fog Allen. And they have a nice practice facility for both the men and women. So, yeah, you're right there. And the football facility now is the third biggest.
Yeah.
And where those guys work out is second to none. So, yeah, I don't think there's any excuses for Iowa State anymore. They've given them the tools. Now go sell those tools to incoming recruits, mm-hmm. bring them in, develop them with games. Yeah. It's not going to be built overnight. I mean, that was the thing that I think was a little bit unfair with Rhodes is, hey, we have this new Southeast end zone. We have this new practice facility. Go win right now. And I'm not making an excuse for Rhodes, but, okay, you have them to sell. But now you got to go sell. And usually for football, you don't see this for 4 years down the road start paying off. And I think Iowa State is now still 2 years away from maybe seeing all the investment back into football start paying off. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but
The biggest thing we can't do, and you see whenever we get down, you see this happening if you look back, we can't blow our line recruiting classes. You know, it takes 3, 4, 5 years to develop those guys.
Absolutely.
So if you blow a class, I mean, that you'll 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you're going to have a bad year.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep that pipeline going. You've got to evaluate talent. You've got to develop those guys. You got to keep their heads up. You know, it's just.
It's got to be really tough, though, to recruit the line specifically offensive line.
I was going to say defense. Yeah.
Well, just because you're hoping that these guys are going to be, honestly, in the Big 12, you're hoping you're going to have guys 325, 350 pounds playing on the line, but you're recruiting these guys out of high school, and they're not that big. Almost none of them are that big in high school. So you have to project growth.
The biggest thing I would look for, though, I would look for where is this guy's head at? You know, if you get a Tom Farniak, that guy was physically talented, but he was mentally tough. You got to be able to evaluate, is this a kid that I can put through the grind that I'm going to have to put him through for his career?
Is he an ass kicker?
Yeah.
Is he an ass kicker? Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, there's no question. Then there's certain guys, too, you can watch on film. They might even be a little bit dirty, hitting just a little bit after. But, hey, man, I can rein a guy back a little bit and say, hey, you got to stop. You can't be getting this late penalties. Rather than, hey, go be – you're not aggressive enough.
Exactly.
It's hard to coach guy to be more aggressive. It's easy to pull him back a little bit.
Historically, I think we've kind of gone with the big Iowa farm kid who's probably a great kid, but mentally, is he the guy that we want?
Well, I think the problem is for Iowa State on the offensive line right now is they had a little bit of a snowball effect where they had to start playing guys early because they didn't have the depth. And so these guys are playing as fresh, redshirt freshmen. They're still probably a year or 2 years away from being ready to play. And then what you see is they're not physically ready and they get beat up on. Mm-hmm. They have injuries. And now there's 3 or 4 offensive linemen that should be in the two deeps right now that aren't even playing football anymore. Daniel mm-hmm. Burton's not playing. Jacob Dunning's not playing because they had such bad injuries. They're not in the game anymore.
That's a good point.
So when you get behind like that, I think it's easy to say to push these guys forward, and you have to because you want to win games. But what it does is it hurts you down the road too.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, we even saw it with a linebacker. Iowa State had a run with Jake Knott, AJ Klein, and Jeremiah George, and all these guys where they had to play as freshmen, even though they weren't getting a lot of snaps. They got a little bit, and I think they had to play a little bit earlier. And Iowa State should have had 3 really great years out of like Jeremiah George. They got 1.5, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Knott and Klein if they had 1 more year at Iowa State. I just think that's the difference right now for Iowa State is building the depth up to where you're not playing these guys a year or two before they're ready. And then they'll be that much better as junior, senior year because their body's not just beaten down.
Yeah, it's a great point.
It's got to take a toll to play inside in the Big 12. I mean, think about your typical lines that Baylor's getting, Texas is getting, Oklahoma's
getting. Monsters.
Those guys are huge.
Even what those guys do, I don't know, you guys, Adam and Jared have probably seen more practices than I have. And I don't think they hit as much as they used to, but you just look at the drills they put those linemen through in practice. I mean, you're getting beat up every day you hit.
Yeah.
It is physical. It is tough. And
I think hitting's gotten way down, though, right, in college football?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're
– mainly due to concussions.
Yeah, there's so many studies out there anymore, and there's ways that coaches have gotten smart in how to work certain drills without putting the physical toll on a body.
I want to say they changed the NCAA rules for how many times you can hit during the week.
I think that's true, too.
I think it's only once or twice.
Mm.
Jared, what are with these the linemen especially? They wear these black, are they covers on the helmets? I'm assuming they're to help with concussions.
That, and I think they have sensors in them that can read how hard you're hitting.
Okay.
Hmm.
So, like, then they can – see if someone gets a concussion. Oh, you got hit this hard on this play? That's got to be it.
Yeah.
Wow.
People that are listening, they would have seen these at the spring game because mm-hmm. the linemen were wearing them then. So
20 years from now, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with football, and maybe you'll see no noticeable difference. But when I was talking to Lane the other day, who's got kids that are a little bit older getting ready to do football, he was saying he's already seeing participation is way down, like just in Ankeny, et cetera. A lot fewer kids. And obviously the parents are making the decision when your kid's in third and fourth grade, and that's when they can start tackle football in Ankeny.
I think that's too young.
And he was making the point. I would agree. I didn't start tackle football until seventh grade. I played flag football in fifth and sixth and started tackle. There isn't a lot of point to having third and fourth graders tackle each other. And it isn't even about concussion. It's just
they don't hit hard enough.
The technique, they're not going to hit hard, etc. So I don't know why there was the rush to do this, but now it seems like you're probably going to start going back the other way.
Probably gung-ho dads was the rush to do it, to be honest.
Well, I think a lot of high schools, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, are getting away from even having 7th, 8th grade footballs at their school. I think a lot of them are going off to maybe like the communities running these, but not the actual school. I don't know. Is that going up in Ames?
I think
Johnston got rid of their 7th or 8th grade program last year.
I haven't heard that.
The game changer in public schools is going to be when somebody wins a huge lawsuit related to concussions.
Yeah.
And the schools struggle to get insurance.
Yeah.
So long term, you wonder if football will even stay in public schools.
And there's other options, and I'm not saying like if you go up to Ames High, you're seeing these options, but if you look around the country, you're seeing more lacrosse, more rugby,
yeah.
other games that are very physical, great exercise. You're running on a full field, but there's typically less contact. It's just a different sport, and obviously you got the other sports like golf and tennis and stuff like you do like that. But if you really want the adrenaline of like a football, but you don't want to play football, I could see playing a game like lacrosse and liking it.
Ultimate Frisbee.
Thinking it was fun. And I've heard rugby has far fewer concussions than football does. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that.
The one thing I will say is, I don't know, did you play high school football?
Sophomore year is my last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark can attest to this. When football is good, as far as sports goes, it's as good as it gets. I mean, you win a huge game against a rival, that scene in the locker room, it's unreal. I mean, I don't think any other sport really compares just because of the number of people that are involved, the physical nature of the sport, the teamwork involved.
You don't play as many games.
It's just it's unlike any other sport I think we have in society. So it'd be a shame. We need to figure this out.
It's a true team sport. I mean, you can have one great guy and you're not going to win football games. I mean, you've got to be good as a team. So now I, having a son now, I think to myself, would I want him to play football? And before I had a son, I thought for sure I would. But now that I have a son, I'm like, if he doesn't want to play and he'd rather say, Dad, I want to go play golf, I don't think I'm going to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
At this point. And there was a time when I would have said, yeah, I would talk him out of it. But hopefully he at least does something team related. Golf is, you got a golf team, but you're still out shooting your own ball and doing all that stuff. I think you learn a lot from team sports. And one thing it made me admire, I never understood it, and I still don't fully understand it, but at least I admired it, was the kids that were on the team that never played. They'd show up for practice every day. They knew they were like third string. They'd maybe get scrub time, and yet they kept coming out. I never said, why would you do that? But, it appealed to them.
Yeah. Well, they want to be part of the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that, like you said, they still, when you'd have a big win, they felt that win.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I miss about sports. I don't miss the work and all the other stuff, but after a big win or just, the sense of community, spaghetti dinners the night before football or basketball games, those were fun. Like being around all your buddies. I miss that. But as far as my son playing football, doesn't it a lot of it just depend on the demeanor of your kid?
Yeah. And body type is, I think, big too.
Body type. And is your kid the hammer or see the nail? Like, is he the one doing the hitting or is he? Because I can already tell my oldest son, nice kid in the world, he's not a I'm gonna go just drill you and tackle you. My middle child Owen, he might be. He just had a soccer game the other day and I had to yell at him probably 50 times to quit pushing kids to the ground. He was just knocking everyone over.
You know what else though is true though? I think it's, you can't help it at all, but I think honestly it's a little bit of about when you're born and if you have siblings or not. As an example, so Seton has a younger sister, so they don't beat up on each other. Eric was 9 years older than I was, so he wasn't beating up on me. So I was never one of those guys that wanted to go hit. I didn't like getting hit. That's why I played wide receiver. We didn't have to do a lot of it. But watching like Lane's kids the other day, he's got two kids, and they're like punching each other in the face, man.
Oh yeah.
They're like close in age together, and they're beating the crap out of each other.
Linebackers.
Seton's watching this like, what are they doing? Because he's not used to that.
Yeah.
So part of it is just like you had a bunch of brothers, so you probably grew up getting pounded on and just wrestling.
Beat the hell out of each other.
I wasn't used to that.
I need to put in a pitch for cross country here. My 10th grade son.
Oh God.
He's like 112 pounds, so he's not a football player. He's not going to be a football player. So. If your kid's not a football player, think about cross country.
Yeah.
That's my
well, cross country. The good thing about cross country, too, is you can do that for the rest of your life. And once you become a runner, it seems like those people run all the time. I hate running, but I never was a cross country runner. But you say, hey, Adam, go run 2 miles. Could I? Maybe, but I would be miserable the whole time. I just hate running. Hate it.
Yeah.
But people that ran across country, typically you see them their whole life. They enjoy running and they keep doing it.
Definitely.
I went to Clarendon cross country practice for one day.
I remember my very first day of Ames High track. Very first day ever. It was cold, so we were running inside. We would run in the school. Like, I don't know if you guys ever did that in track or if you even went – if you'd run in the hallways of school, right? And for whatever reason, Coach Sletten, who is a brilliant coach, Hall of Fame coach.
Still at it, too, in his mid-80s.
Yeah, great, great coach. Very smart. Like, knew how to put people in the right places, but maybe didn't have me quite figured out yet. And he put me with a guy named Dave Cantonwine, who Eric would remember that name probably. Yep. But a good – miler and like an upper distance guy, and he put me with him thinking that maybe I'd be good at like 800s and up, and it was one day of that and done. I'm like, that is not where I'm gonna be.
He had me with the pole vaulters one day, like,
see, that's old school grade, because when I went to school, pole vault was gone.
We never had pole vault.
Had wiped that out for being too dangerous. But I and a lot of people wonder, like, this was just coming up on the radio the other day, like, how do you pole vault for the first time? You know, you like go and like you're going to get way up in the air, and the fear is probably going to kick in and say, oh, crap, I hope I don't fall backwards here. I got to go forward.
Quick story that's got a football tie-in. Paul Rhodes' son, Wyatt, is a decathlete at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. He was a good athlete at Gilbert. I think he played football his freshman year at Iowa State as a walk-on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But he went out for track and actually scored in the decathlon at the Big 12 meet. What got me thinking about that is pole vaulting. This is a kid who obviously never pole vaulted growing up. Yep. Well, that's one of the things he's had to learn at Iowa State.
Yeah. And
he's actually getting decent at it. He's got a long way to go, but...
I mean, it seems kind of fun, but if somebody said, go pole vault right now, I'd be like, yeah.
Hard pass.
I don't know about that.
But have you seen Eddie the Eagle?
No, but I wanted to. It looked pretty good.
So, you know, they're doing the downhill
jumping
off the... what do they even call that? You know, they're jumping...
Ski jump.
Ski jump from 90 meters. My question, whenever I'd watch on the Winter Olympics, how do you do that for the first time?
Like, I assume. I think maybe the answer is I'm not 100% sure. I think they do it into water. Or at least they can, because I just saw a commercial the other day. This is out in Utah where the Olympics were, where they have the ski jumps. And now they've converted some of those into water slides. So you go and you're, like, you're on your stomach and you go soaring down this thing. And at the end, it ramps you up way up into the air. And you land in a huge pool.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. But you'd want to make sure you land just right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you land on your back or stomach, that would not be good.
You watch professionals do things like that, and they make it look way easier than it probably is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In the movie, you start with like a 15-meter, and you slowly work your way up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even going from, you know, the bottom to the top, I just don't know how.
But you know, you don't hear about a lot of ski jumpers killing themselves doing it. So, I mean – as long as you're not landing on your head, you're probably okay. But no, there's things in life. It's like, what would I never do? That would be
ski
one.
Ski jump. No, I'm not doing it.
Ski jump. I was scared to take small little jumps in Minnesota last winter when I was there. It's like the older you get, it just becomes about survival. That's like how do I not break my leg? Because it's going to stink to have a broken leg for 6 months. So I'm going to try not to do that.
Nah, blacks, no, I'm good. I'm going to pass in the blacks.
You know,
today.
I used to love even something more tame. I used to love roller coasters. Now my appetite for roller coasters is like non-existent.
Do you get
like,
sick every time you go on rides? Because I do.
No, I get dizzy if it's something that spins. So I would, you know, I'd rather go on a roller coaster than on a merry-go-round, frankly. But no, it's like I pass Adventureland all the time, and there's no part of me that's like, I want to go do that, man.
Have you ever taken your kids there?
Not yet, but just height-wise, he's not, you know, they ride the little things. But I've heard the water park over there is quite nice.
It is nice.
We need to go over
especially
there.
Especially when you can just drop your kids off and you can sit there and have a drink and let them go.
Get a cabana.
The thing I always like doing when I go to Adventureland is Ben Ulin, the magician.
Yeah.
He's kind of fun to go in and watch.
Wasn't he around forever? That name sounds familiar. Has he been?
I haven't been for a few years, but the last few times I've gone, he's been there doing his show.
Ross Peterson goes apparently every week. I see videos of him on Snapchat with his kid over there.
Oh, really?
They still have the, is it the Galleon? I think that's right.
Is that the ship that rocks
back and forth?
The amazing thing about Adventureland is that there's a local guy that started that, Jack Krantz. I mean, he was kind of a visionary to set that up in Des Moines, Iowa, and it's still doing well. Decades later.
And he keeps adding pieces, you know, they just keep building
and
stuff.
And I used to think for whatever reason that eventually it was cheap, but Nick went the other day, I think with the whole family.
It's not cheap.
Weren't you saying it was like $245 for like everyone?
Two-day pass.
Yeah. But that's not bad.
Yeah.
You go to a Cyclone football game, you're going to spend $200.
Well, not all of us are rolling in money, Eric, you know. It's like,
You spend $200 and you get a swift kick in the nuts.
So what's
a hell of a deal?
Let's get a forecast prediction from you for the football season. How are we going to end up?
Probably 4-8.
4-8. I think Eric, I don't know if he'll admit it, but I'm pretty sure in some of the sadder McCartney days, I think he was actually at the stadium wearing a bag on his head. I think he was one of those guys that was like embarrassed.
Allegedly.
To
McCartney days or Walden days?
Okay. I'll confess. The game when we lost to Kansas at home, like 42-7 or
that was the 2003 year when we went 2-10, I think, that year.
2003.
This was his last year where we actually won the last game of the season against Missouri. Yeah. Okay. Was that 2003? That was
2005.
I actually did go to senior day in 2003. I remember sitting there in the snow with about 19,000 of the Cyclone faithful seeing
2003
that
was the year that if you bet against the Cyclones, they didn't cover any games.
We had the three-headed monster at quarterback, and that was a bad year.
Wade Terry, Chris Love, and Austin Flynn, right?
Yep.
That was bad. We lost 45-7 last game of the year to Missouri.
Okay. What was the Colorado score?
44-10.
Yeah, that was our senior day.
Every game was horrible.
It was bad.
It was just bad. I mean, literally, I had buddies every week calling me like, I can't believe how easy it is to bet against Iowa State now.
Austin Flynn ended his career on a good note, though. I mean, he moved to wide receiver. He had a good senior year. Did he have 1 or 2 years at receiver?
Three.
Did he have three at receiver? He only played quarterback his freshman year. Wow.
Redshirt freshman year quarterback, and then they had Brett Meyer come in, and they moved.
Okay.
Was Flynn the one that got the concussion at Iowa? Would he have played at Iowa?
Oh, he would have. I don't remember. I don't remember if he did or not.
No, I was there. I just remember if it was him. I'd never seen a concussion that looked as bad as that one. Like, he got tackled, got his bell rung, and they're all huddling up, you know, for the next play, and he's literally like – walking the other direction, like down the opposite side of the field, like he was out for a Sunday stroll. Like, you knew, like, he ain't right.
Nope.
Yeah. He doesn't know where he is right now, man.
I think he's coaching at Grandview last I saw. He's
off
still down there?
Yeah.
He's a good guy. I think he's got a good future.
Our Rob Gray at Cyclone Fanatic did a Where Are They Now piece on him, I don't know, a couple months back. So, yeah. Thanks for reading that, Eric.
Yeah.
you know everything. Thanks for your support on the website.
I got to give a shout-out to our friend, our podcast friend, John Olson. John got the head coaching job at Central.
Did he?
He did.
I didn't know that.
He's going to be the head golf coach.
Congrats, Johnny.
Wow, really?
At Central, yeah.
So he's moving?
No, he'll commute for now. Over there, I'm not exactly sure what the duties are. It's a full-time job, which seems odd because you're a golf coach and golf season's relatively short. So I think they find other places to kind of fit you in, and then he's got recruiting. So he said the recruiting budget over there is pretty nice, so he can travel to find some players. And
he sells insurance too, doesn't he? So he can kind of do that.
Not anymore. No, this is full-time.
Oh, really?
This is all he's going to be doing, supposedly. So
wow.
Is there a course out there, Boss Landon? I'm assuming it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he have to teach too?
Nope. Nope, he's just a coach, and Eric happens to know someone that might own the Harvester. Maybe he should try to get the team out there for some rounds of golf.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So
I've been working on your brother to get us out there for a year.
He told me to talk to someone
else. He's too chicken to just call and ask. He's trying to go through me. He just needs to call. Mark's in good standing in our company. Normally,
the reason I go through Eric is because Eric can golf out there for free whenever he wants to, right? But he's not much of a golfer, so he doesn't take advantage. So I just want to slide in and be Eric for a day and say, like, since he's not taking advantage of it,
sure,
let me go take advantage of it for a day. And I do think this is a fair trade because I know what radio commercials cost. If we get Chris Williams, who wants to go golf out there, willing to talk about the Harvester for 15 minutes on 1460, that's not a bad trade-off.
That's the first time you've mentioned this.
Yeah.
That's a different question.
I think Chris is willing to talk about his day out at a beautiful golf course on the show.
Chris can't do that on 1460. You got to talk to the sales guys over there.
Chris can talk about what he did that day. That's part of the show.
It'd be good to get you guys out there.
It's my favorite course.
Who was the fourth? Bloom wanted to go?
Bloom wanted to go. Yeah, I don't know if Bloom's ever played out there. Maybe once. I played out there the day before my wedding, and I played out there two other times maybe. It's a hard course, but it's beautiful.
It's a really hard course. It's the only course I've ever played on, and TC has a little bit like this where at times it sounds dumb, but when you're hitting from the fairway, it can feel kind of like you're hitting off carpet. I mean, the fairways out there
perfect
are so nice.
Yeah.
That's like, man, this feels thick to me. But no, it's a great course. I played it a bunch, and it's really tough.
You typically don't hit out of the fairway, too, so you're just not used to the...
You know, I go out there, I hit from the tips. Yeah. Usually around par when I play.
When you worked out there, how often would you play?
Not enough. I probably played the Harvester in my life. I probably played it 30 times total.
It's not quite the same when you're playing alone, though.
No, it's not. It's not at all. So it's but yeah. Well, now that you know that maybe Chris can plug the course, we can maybe get out.
Well, you've mentioned it on the Fallcast.
There you go.
Maybe enough advertising I can get you on.
I expect season passes now for every employee at Cycling.
Go to the Harvester, located in Rhodes, Iowa, and it's kind of expensive. I don't even know what you guys are charging anymore, but I know it's a lot.
Sure. I'm not sure. Most of the people that play, to be honest, are out-of-state people, or a good portion of them.
That hear about this nice course and want to come play.
Yeah. It is rated as the top public course in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
And I think top 25 in the U.S., if I remember correctly. Last I looked at it.
If you're in Minneapolis or Chicago or Omaha, the price is, doesn't bother you. But if you're an Iowa person and you're used to paying
$40, $50 a round, then
or $10 on your local municipal course.
What does it cost to play Clarinda? Do they have a course over there? They do.
Oh, yeah. They've got a little country club. You used to work there, right, Jared?
Yeah, I mowed grass there once.
Probably $20.
Yeah, it's probably $20 for nine.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I need to get down there and play it. So now that you've got a hoop,
it's a nice little course for as big as Clarinda.
There's a couple holes that are pretty stupid.
Now that you have a hoop, Gray, in your backyard,
with
a 3-point line, although albeit just from the top of the key,
we need
to come to our contest. Yeah,
I've got three nights in a row getting some jumpers in.
You guys could also come to Ames, and you could have your contest at the field house next to our office, and then we could go out to.
It's a beautiful facility.
Afterwards. Go to Hickory Park afterwards.
So the story is we need to do some remotes. Apparently, unless the plans change, 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from tomorrow, and my wife is on board with this, by the way, she wants us to do the podcast from the hospital room so our new son can experience the podcast himself.
Wow.
She wants to.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's what she wants to do it.
I can't say no to Katie.
Come up to Ames. We could do the podcast, and then we could go shoot hoops, and then we could go to lunch.
Deal.
What a day.
Well, it worked out well for Jared, too. Jared, being right up there in Ames.
2 weeks from today, you said?
2 weeks from tomorrow, so on a Thursday.
It'll just depend on if there's availability.
Okay.
Probably will be.
Okay.
We could make it happen. But no, it'll be the first ever podcast from the room of a newborn baby.
And just so people are clear, this is after the kid's been born.
The kid is scheduled to be born on Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay.
So
we're in a little grace period there.
So by Thursday, he'll probably have his crap together.
Okay.
he'll be ready to go. So we'll even let him talk if he wants to. So yeah, exciting. Jared should be around this dude. He's going to enter the stage of his life with babies and stuff. So
do you have the name picked out?
We do.
You do?
Yeah.
Not sharing it with anyone yet, obviously.
We've shared it with almost everybody so far. We have.
Are you able to Are you able to say it on the podcast?
We've had the name picked out for a while, months, and the whole time we're like, "Is that the name?" And then we haven't talked about any other names at all. We just stopped talking about names, and now my 2-year-old daughter is calling the baby by the name.
Yeah,
and it's just kind of
so it stuck. So what's the name?
I will admit it's a name that if people hate this basketball program, then they won't like the name. But I like it because they're winners in my book. And we like names that we don't know anyone else with the name.
Warriors?
So, yeah, his name is going to be Warrior. His name is going to be Jazz. Okay?
Jazz.
No, our son, born in 2 weeks, will be Duke.
Duke?
Yeah.
Nice.
Duke Charter is going to be his name. So
it's a solid name.
Yeah. So he can't be a wuss. He cannot be a wuss and be named Duke. You got the old John Wayne thing. You got the Duke's royalty.
Can you name a Duke that went to Ames High? I can remember one.
I can, but that was his nickname. And the true story, so the only Duke that we personally know, we do know a Duke, which would normally rule out the name for us because we did not know a Seton. We did not know a Hollis. Surprise, surprise. And so we knew a Duke, but it was his nickname. Because he was unfortunately given the family name. He was, I think, the fourth generation with this given first name. And his real first name is Seaman. I'm not joking.
Shut up.
Last name was Knapp, which I think goes all the way back to Knapp Hall and Knapp Street.
So Seaman Knapp is his name.
That's just mean.
And he went, of course, by not that. He went by Duke. And he's a great guy. In fact, I think he might be in the CIA. So
I would never call him by Duke. I'd call him Seaman constantly. I'd be mean.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be
Duke. Duke. So I just broke news. There you go.
Okay. This is big. What's the middle name? Adam?
The middle name is not Adam. The middle name as of now will likely be George in honor of Kate's grandfather.
So, no, Niang.
Well, no S.
Is there an S? Oh, no S on it.
No S. So Duke George will be his name, and our two children. We debated this, and then there was a very plausible explanation when we actually thought about it, because Seton's middle name is John, named after Kate's brother who passed away. Hollis's middle name is Catherine, named after her brother's wife who also passed away. Same accident. And then we said, what do we want to do for this name? Should it be your side, my side? And then we said, well, technically all of our kids have my name already. They're all charters.
That's true.
So I guess the middle name should go to the wife. So I think we're going to go with George.
Yeah. So. Okay.
So hopefully she's okay with me saying all this. She didn't tell me I could, so I'm in trouble.
It's only 2 weeks.
This is actually.
I know.
You've said worse on here.
I've said far worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're fine.
Surprisingly, she's never been mad at me about anything I've said. I mean, she's given me a few looks, and she's rolled her eyes and said, "I can't believe you said that."
There was one show that you came back the next show and said, I think you were in kind of a bad mood or a negative mood, and you said she kind of got on you for something you said.
It's because he was talking about how rich he is, and she.
No, that wasn't.
No, she has said that. She said you got to be careful about talking about having money, and I said, well, you know, I'm not rich. I mean, Eric's boss is rich. All right, that's rich. I'm not rich. I've got some money, but I'm not rich. So, but she reminded me that a lot of people are paycheck to paycheck, so I shouldn't be a dick about it, which is probably good advice.
Great advice.
So, yeah, I'll let you know when I get rich. How about that?
There you go. Looking forward to it.
Cool.
Are you coming to Vegas?
I didn't get invited.
He wouldn't go if he was. So I think the wife would put the
kibosh on that
one.
I could probably go, but my wife would have to come with me. So
is that how it works?
That might put a damper on the trip.
I was shocked that Gray even went, to be honest with you. And then he got a little taste. And now, you know.
And now not looking to go again. So
he is.
He's been married 24 years, and I've probably spent less than 10 nights away from my wife in almost 24 years.
Some guys do that in a month. They got the right job or whatever. They're traveling. So my wife tells me I should go more places, frankly, because I'm, other than Vegas, pretty much the rest of the year, I'm around. So I'm going to start looking for some conferences to go to.
I dig my wife, though. I don't want to be apart from her.
That's so sad. Jared's like, this is what my life's going to be. Like every night. I gotta be with this girl. No, it's if you marry a good girl, it's okay.
Yep.
It's okay. So, do you have any parting shots before we go? Anything you want to?
I was going to mention, you guys haven't mentioned the big news today. Lane Anderson is out at Iowa's head cross country coach.
Oh!
Adam just took his headset
How did we miss that?
He's taken a job at Tennessee. So Iowa, with a week before cross country practice, has to find a new cross country coach.
That's called leaving you in the lurch.
How will they ever survive?
Joey Woody is the head coach over there, and he is a good man and a sharp man, so he will figure it out.
Who left?
Lane Anderson, their head distance and cross-country coach.
Okay. So now they just have to have someone be like, hey, go run 4 miles.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, but here's my question. What does a cross-country coach do? I'm killing the cross-country profession right now.
Not a lot.
A lot of what a cross-country coach does, there's technical stuff with coaching. A lot of it is motivating. A lot of it is recruiting. A lot of it, especially on the women's side, is just dealing with personalities and dealing with motivation and – in Division I running, you're always very close to injury. You push kids up to the point just before injury, and occasionally kids get pushed beyond that, and they're hurt, and you're constantly battling how do you get peak performance, but how do you not get injured, and all the psychology that goes into that.
We're talking about running, right?
Running, yes.
Okay, just a long distance, just go run.
Yes, and Iowa State, right? It's interesting. You're letting me talk track here for just a minute. Iowa and Iowa State as programs are about 180 degrees different. Iowa is a very sprint-oriented program. Iowa State is a very distance-oriented program.
Is that because of who Iowa State's athletic director is, being a distance runner himself?
It's because we can't compete with Southern schools and their sprint talent.
It's kind of the same thing as football. It really is. I mean, look at who Iowa is competing against, other Northern schools. Look at who we're competing against, Southern schools. You know, to try to compete against Texas schools in the sprints, it's futile. I mean, in Dallas, in a given year in Dallas, you will have as many good sprinters as you have probably in 10 years in the entire state of Iowa.
So here's my question to that, though. How many guys run sprints at track at Iowa State? How many do you need?
You know, I don't know how many we have on scholarship. I will say this year when we tried to run a 4x100, it was a comedy act. We tried it at Drake. We tried it at conference, and both times I think we got disqualified. So
how did you get disqualified? From dropping the baton?
Passing it out of the zone. Yeah. So, you know, we get a few guys out, and you need a few. Like, if you're going to run a distance medley, you need a 400-meter guy. You should at least try to put a 4x1 and a 4x4 on the track at conference, because if you don't, you're giving up a few points. But we put a lot of our money at Iowa State into distance, jumps, and throws. That's kind of been their strategy. So 800 meters on up. Also, we brought some good hurdlers in. We have a really good hurdler from Glenwood, Iowa.
That's my guy.
You know him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I ran against him for
He beat you?
He was like a Drake champion. Like
boom.
3 years in a row.
Yeah,
boom.
He was third in the Big 12 in the 400 hurdles. But yeah. So anyway, Iowa is the sprint school. We're the distance school. We've got good distance head coach. We've got a phenomenal woman's distance coach who's getting great women. She just brought in a woman from Canada who set the Canadian junior record in the 10,000 meters. She's only run the race twice, but she's already set the Canadian junior record.
So she's
record.
Decent.
And Jamie Pollard's son is at Iowa State, correct?
His son Thomas just got done with his redshirt year. He had a phenomenal redshirt year, qualified for two U.S. teams in cross country and in the 10,000. He's going into his redshirt freshman year.
Why did he redshirt? Was he not
a lot? A lot of it was, I think, to compete at the international level in these two meets, and some of it was just to get used to college. And he's the foundation of the program for the next 4 years.
He's that good.
Yeah, and you know, we've got Thomas, and I think as a result of that, we brought in another kid this year named Andrew Jordan, who is basically as good as Thomas. So I think Jamie could see Thomas coming up. Corey Immels left for Boise State. He hired Martin Smith, who's a really good distance coach. And I think they're the foundation of what we're going to do for the next 4 or 5 years. And the women already were really good. 2 years ago, they finished second in the country in cross country, and are not far off from getting back to that level again. They had a kind of a rough year last year with injuries. But if any sport we have that's as close to elite, that women's distance program is as close to elite as any other program we have on campus.
I think Pollard should listen to this today. He's gotten a lot of love on here, and Jamie Pollard, and maybe he'll unblock me on Twitter.
If I have a chance to talk to him, I'll make that request.
Say, he'll go, what is the Fawcast, first of all? And unblock it?
He listens.
He does not listen to this.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, for those of you that didn't tune out 5 minutes ago, now we'll say goodbye to him. I think we might have lost a few people when we went into track. But
I dozed off for a second there.
That's
when
okay.
When we're talking about track.
First meet is in Iowa City, Friday night, September 2nd.
Are you going?
Make sure and be there. I think I am going to go. Yeah, 6 o'clock, Iowa City.
That's the day before the first home football game.
I know. It's a huge weekend. Cross country Friday night, football Saturday night. It's going to be awesome.
Are you the only person in attendance besides parents of the people that run?
I really went to a lot of indoor meets this last winter, and they get pretty good attendance at those, to be honest. It's a good time.
Jared, you could actually speak. You don't just shake your head nod in approval. Okay.
Yeah, I've noticed that his mic is like every time with this kid, there's something audio related that's an issue. I don't get it.
Williams needs to give us better equipment.
I don't get
what it is. We'll blame Williams.
Whatever. All right, I got to go, boys.
All right.